from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Do we got him? Are we good? All right, let's go live to Paris, France, from Portland, Oregon to Paris, France. Our good friend Andrew Greif is covering the Olympics for GQ, NBC News. He's doing a great job over there. We got some good pieces up. Profile piece on Noah Lyles he wrote in July, and he covered the 100-meter race, which was crazy. He's on Twitter, at Andrew Greif. Andrew, good to have you back on. Good morning or good afternoon, good evening. I forget the time zone difference here, but thank you for hopping on with us in Portland. Did you think that Jamaican runner won the race like we did in real time?
Well, Noah Lyles thought that Kashane Thompson won in real time. He walked up to Kashane Thompson after the final, after crossed the finish line, and said, "I think you got that one, big dog." And Thompson said, "I don't know," to him. And they popped up, took 28 seconds, felt like a lifetime, I'm sure. But it was obviously Lyles' race, just an amazing thing. When I told Lyles after in the interview area afterward, I was the one who informed him. I said, "You had the slowest reaction time, and you were seventh out of eight with 50 meters to go. How did you beat them?" And he said, "I just believe in myself." And that's always the Noah Lyles I've known.
That's a remarkable stat, too, to be that far behind, that far into the race. What was the atmosphere like? Because the strangers, you mentioned it taking 30 seconds. It felt like a lifetime on TV, and the broadcasters called the wrong winner initially, and I thought that the Jamaican won as well. Like, what was the atmosphere like as everybody was waiting to find out?
Yeah, I mean, the 100-meter final, my first one, this is my first time covering the Olympics, and so, you know, I've heard lots of things about what it's like, and especially the men's 100 final. It's a glamour event. And what people tell you who've done this before, it's true. It goes from kind of a rave-type atmosphere in this 77,000-seat stadium, completely sold out. They have a light show going as the guys get in the blocks. And then, right before the start, it gets pin-drop quiet. You know, you've never heard a stadium that quiet in your life. Gun goes off. It goes crazy. And then it kind of got quiet again, right? When the photo finished, it pops up. There's a photo finish on the scoreboard. Everyone's just waiting around. Noah was surprised that his name popped up because he wasn't expecting it to take that long. So it just went from a matter of, like, you know, crazy quiet to obviously the burst of noise, a wall of noise, to this uncertainty zone. And then just kind of became a party once again. Noah was, as you can imagine, wired for the next 30 minutes that he spent with us. And it was quite the atmosphere.
Yeah, we're talking with Andrew Greif live in Paris here. He's covering the Olympics, as he mentioned, for the first time. Look, he is a product of track athletes, and you wrote a really good profile in GQ about him, and it's a very interesting dive into the mental health side of this, his family support, his kind of team support. He's a younger athlete. I mean, he was only in high school 8 years ago. Here he is. He's braggadocious. He's telling NBA players they're not technically world champions. And so there's like this weird pocket of people that are kind of, I think, kind of seeing to see if he's going to fail in his face and not be a world champion. He wins the 100 meters. What's it been like covering him? And when you wrote this profile piece, what have you learned about Noah Lyles as an athlete?
Well, I mean, he's a guy who is a showman at heart. He kind of a, he's a little bit of a contradiction at heart. You know, he's a guy who, like I said, loves a crowd. That's why one of the reasons why he felt so out of touch in Tokyo at those Olympics. There was an empty stadium. He was already nursing an injury. His mental health wasn't in a good place. And sort of the inability to connect with fans really threw him there. So to have the biggest crowd of his life, the loudest crowd of his life tonight, that obviously was a stage that he wanted to perform on. But he's a guy, so he loves that environment. But he's also someone who had told me in that profile that he really needs alone time. To, you know, sometimes like he's high wattage. He wants to be an extrovert, but then he really gets introverted. And so finding that balance of the ways he can set himself up in the best position for success has been really a 3-year journey ever since he had all that depression and disappointment in the Tokyo Olympics. Safe to say he's figured it out now.
Hmm. I'm curious to ask you, Andrew, you mentioned first time you've covered an Olympics. I probably will never have the chance to go. I know it's coming to the States in LA in 4 years, but probably not going to be there if I'm being honest. I'm just curious your thoughts following the Olympics your entire life, I'm assuming, and just what has surprised you? What has lived up to the hype? Have there been any disappointments? Just what's it been like over in Paris?
I mean, it being my first time, everything is new, and I've been really pleasantly surprised in a good way that the transportation to and from venues, which is something that people who cover this type of event always say is like the worst thing because, you know, the buses that carry media to and from venues can always sound like they're getting delayed or backed up or off schedule. They're never on time. I've heard that for years from people who've done this for a long time. And I feel like this one has been wonderful. You know, the organizers provided journalists with free metro pass. So I just take the subway every day around Paris, and it's really convenient. Trains run extremely, every 5 minutes in some cases. So that was my biggest concern, just getting around. It's been really wonderful. People in the city have been excellent to deal with. I mean, I don't even know how to say I speak a little French. I speak that little French. But they have been so welcoming. You know, I go every day to my neighborhood boulangerie, get a sandwich. So the city's been warm. The venues are incredible. It's just beautiful. The Eiffel Tower Beach Volleyball Stadium was the first place I went. And, I think it's a really high bar for LA to follow.
What is next for you? The 200 meters is coming up. Noah seemed very, from some quotes I saw, seems very confident in his ability to win that event. What is next for you in terms of what you're covering? It seems like you go to event. You mentioned the volleyball, covering track and field. Like, what is next for Andrew Greif in Paris?
I am essentially, if they allowed me to sleep in the Stade de France where track is, I would take them up on it. That's how often I'm here. So I'm just tethered to track and field. I'll be writing off the men's 200 and the women's 400 meter hurdles, which might be the signature event besides the men's 100 of this entire track program. Sydney McLaughlin, Femke Bol from the Netherlands. That's kind of the two next stories I'm doing for NBC News in a couple of days from now. But you'll see my name pop up in the Oregonian from time to time. I've got another one in the chamber for them in a couple days off the men's 1500. So really glad to be out here and sort of writing about track, which, you know, I obviously have known best from my background. But it's a pretty unique experience, and I'm glad I hustled to get out here.
What time is it there right now?
It is 3:44. You are 9 hours behind on the West Coast.
Okay, 9 hours. That's what I thought it was. I want to get you out of here because we appreciate the time. I know you're super busy. Any opportunity, any window for you to get some hoops? I know you're also a hoops guy, so is there any opportunity for you to get whether men's or women's hoops action?
You know, the hoops is relocated from the north of France and Lille, about 2-hour train ride away, to Paris now for the knockout round. So there is going to be a slower day here for track and field, and I do want to make my way over. I won't necessarily be covering it, but, you know, if I can see Nicholas Batum, who I got to know a little bit on the Clippers beat, and Ty Lue, that'd be great. So I was talking to him about this Olympics with Batum for, more than a year when he was on the Clippers and how excited we would be to be here. So it would be nice to connect with him. And I hope I can make my way over there.
Well, I'm happy for you, man. Seriously, you're doing great work over there for NBC News. You mentioned the Oregonian and OregonLive.com. Glad to see you over there having like a lifetime memory covering the Olympics, track and field. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Andrew Greif. He's joining us live in Paris. Andrew, pick up some French, continued success, and enjoy the rest of the track and field events.
My friends, merci.
There we go. Andrew Greif live in Paris covering track and field for multiple outlets.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.